Meseches Yevamos Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud Aleph. It talks about the following case. Arba Achin, there are four brothers, and then Nisun Arba Noshim. They're married, each one is married to a woman. So there's four men, four women, four brothers, and four sisters-in-law. Vamesu, and then they died. And some of them died. So the halach is the following. In Ratza HaGadol Shabahem Liyabim Eskulon, if the oldest brother wants to do Yibam with all of the widows, so the halach is a Rishus Biyada, he's allowed to marry all of them, because these sisters-in-law are not biologically related, they're only related to each other through marriage, because they marry different brothers. You have Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar. So Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda all have wives, and then all of them die. So Yisachar is allowed to do Yibam with all of the women, because the women are not biologically related to each other. The women are each from separate brothers, so he can do Yibam with all of them. If one man was married to two women, let's say you have Reuben, and Reuben is married to two women, to Rachel and to Leah. So then the halacha is, Vames, if he dies, V'yasai chalitzasa shal anchas mehen the bior, the chalitza of one of them, pateras tarasa, exempts the tzara from having to do yibum or chalitza. So unlike a case where each woman falls to yibum from a different brother, one from Reuven, one from Shimon, one from Levi, one from Yehuda, when there's two women from Reuven, only one of them can do yibum, only one of them can do chalitza, and then obviates the necessity for the other one doing yibum or chalitza. This is known as the mechanism of shlichos, that somehow or other, all of the wives are viewed as a collective. They're viewed as one collective entity. And therefore, one of the wives of the deceased husband can do Yibam on behalf of all of them. That's what we mean. Bi'asa, the Bia, the Yibam, or the Chalitza of Anchas Mehen, of one of the many wives of the deceased. Pateras Tarasa, that exempts all of the other co-wives of the deceased from performing Yibam and Chalitza. Haisa Achas Kshera of Achas Psula. What happens if one of Reuven's wives was Kshera and the other of Reuven's wives was Psula? She was not allowed to marry a Kohen. She was not allowed to marry the Yavam. So the halacha is, she wasn't allowed to marry the Yavam. She wasn't allowed to marry a Kohen. Let's say she was a Grusha. A Grusha is not allowed to marry a Kohen. When the Mishnah uses the words kosher and pasul, it can mean a lot of different things. Sometimes it means kosher and pasul to a Kohen Gadol, an Almana, and a Grusha. Sometimes it means kosher and pasul to a Kohen Hedyot. It means a Grusha alone, excluding an Almana. Sometimes it means kosher and pasul to marry a Yisrael, because a Mamzer and a Nasin, etc., are not allowed to marry a Yisrael. Sometimes it means other things also. So over here, when we talk about psula, we mean psula to marry a Kohen. So the halacha is, im hayacholeitz, if Shimon, the surviving brother, wants to do chalitza, he should be choleitz la psula, he should do chalitza to the psula. The Gemara says that from here we learn a tremendous yisod in derech eretz, that let's say that you have something which is fine for everybody else, and something which is already possible for everybody else. And you're going to do something which is going to make one of the two of them possible to everybody else. So you should, the most appropriate thing is to make the one which is already possible, and leave the one which is kosher to everybody else, leave that kosher. Don't make the one which is kosher also possible. The way that the Gemara phrases this is, lo yishpoch adam mei boro v'achir tzvichalo. A person shouldn't pour out the water from his well when other people need it. It's such a waste. He could do chalitza with a woman who's already psula l'kuhuna, and then she'll just stay in her present status. So therefore, he should be cholitz l'psula, and he shouldn't be cholitz to the one who's kshera, because then he's needlessly causing another woman to become asura l'kuhuna, because a chalutza is not allowed to marry a kohen. But if he wants to do yibam, then he has his choice. He could be miyabim l'kshera also. He could do yibam to the kshera, because doing yibam is not going to render her unfit to marry a kohen. Mishnah Yud Beis says, a machzir grushaso, a person who's machzir grushaso, the Torah says that that's prohibited. If a man is married to a woman, and then he divorces her, and then she marries a second man, and the second man divorces her, the first man is not allowed to remarry her. He's over on a lav. La yuchal bayla harishon la shuv lekachta. The first husband is not allowed to go back and take her. It's a lav in the Torah. He's not allowed to be machzir grushaso. What if he did it anyhow? What are the consequences for Yibam and Chalitza? Case number two, Hanoisei Chalutzasai. Person's not allowed to marry his Chalutza, he already did Chalitza. The Torah said, Kevan Shaloi Bana, once he neglected to build up his brother's house, once he neglected to perpetuate his brother's memory and his brother's family line, he has no second opportunity. Shuv lo yivna, he will never again have the opportunity to build up and perpetuate his brother's family line. So that's an isur d'oraisa. We consider it a lav d'oraisa. Kevan shaloi bana, it's not a pasuk, but it's a drasha from a pasuk. Shaloi bana, he neglected to build up the family. So shuv lo yivna, he never has an opportunity again to build it up. What happens if he went ahead and he married his chalutza anyhow? He was over on a lav. So what's the status now of this couple with regard to yivam and chalitza? What about hanoisei kroivas chalutza? What if somebody marries the kroiva, the relative of his chalutza? That's a rabbinic prohibition, because the Torah says you can't marry the chalutza. The Rabbanan came along and said, just like you're not allowed to marry the sister, the mother, the daughter of your grusha, you also rabbinically are not allowed to marry the sister, the mother, or the daughter of your chalutza. What if he went ahead and did it? So the halacha is, first of all, yoytzi. He's got to get rid of this woman. Got to get rid of her. And furthermore, v'avlad mamzer, the child from this such a union is a mamzer. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, these are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva here is telling us two massive chidushim. Chidush number one is that even though these three things are isurim, they're prohibited, they're not prohibited with, there's no penalty of misas based in for transgressing this prohibition, there's no penalty of kares, of misa videi shamayim for transgressing this prohibition, at the worst there's a penalty of malchus, of lashes for transgressing the prohibition. So the chachamim and most of the tanaim say that if there's no misas based in and there's no kares, then the child from such a union is not a mamzer. The child is only a mamzer if the union is so frowned upon by the Torah that the Torah enforced the prohibition by leveling some sort of a death penalty, some sort of capital punishment, either misa bidei Adam or misa bidei Shemaim. If there's no such capital punishment, most chachamim assume that there is no consequence of mamzeros on a child from such a union either. Rabbi Akiva, though, is much more machmir than most of the Tanaim, and Rabbi Akiva says that there is a mamzer, the child of a union, even if the union is only prohibited with the lav, and there's no misa that's meant to reinforce the lav, even so, the child of such a union is a mamzer. That's chiddush number one that Rabbi Akiva says. And chiddush number two that Rabbi Akiva says is the following. Even though machzir grushasai is a lav in the Torah, it's an explicit pasuk, and noisei chalutzasai is also a lav in the Torah, it's from a drasha. But noisei kroves chalutzasai, pashtus, it's only drabbanon, because the Torah says that you can't marry the relative of your grusha, of your divorcee. And the Rabbanan came along and said that because a chalutza resembles a divorcee, you can't either marry the relative of a chalutza. So that's only Pashtus the Rabbanan. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says that it seems that he holds that this is an Isser D'Oraisa somehow. That there's an Isser D'Oraisa somehow. It's a major, major chiddush on the part of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara also darshens it from a pasuk, but it's a second chiddush on top of the first chiddush that you could have mamzer from Chayvi Lavin. He also says that noisei kroivas chalutzasai, the mother, the daughter, or the sister of one's chalutza, is a lav in the Torah, which is a big chiddush. The chachamim say ein avlad mamzer, the child is not a mamzer. Certainly not from kroivas chalutzasai, which is only the rabbanon, but even from machzir grushasai and noisei chalutzasai, which are lavim in the Torah, the vlad is still not a mamzer because the Torah didn't feel necessary to back up those lavim with a chiyuv of karis or a chiyuv of misas beast. And so the same thing, we assume the Torah didn't find it necessary to back up those lavim with the mamzeris penalty on the children either. However, moidim, the chachamim are moide bin noisei kroivas grushas, a person who marries the relative of his grusha, in other words, the sister, the mother, the daughter, the grandmother, or the granddaughter of his former wife, of his ex-wife, that's an explicit pasuk in the Torah that he's not allowed to marry her. And the Torah also says that there's a chiyuv of misa if he marries her, a chiyuv of karis at the very least. So there, the Chachamim Ramayda Shavlai Mamzer, because there's a Chi of Kari. So the Chachamim Ramayda, that the child of such a union is a Mamzer, because the Torah already penalized the participants in such a union with the Chi of Kari. So therefore, the Torah also penalized them by saying that their offspring will have the permanent, eternal blemish of being a Mamzer. Shem Yirachim.